What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
It is Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I'm Brady Cannon along with Wes Reynolds and Matt Eumanns as we kick off another episode of Golf Betting Conversation. And we want to get right to our guest tonight. He is now a three-time offender as a guest here on Long Shots. One of the very best, been with us since the beginning. It is Justin Ray from the 15th Club. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin Ray Golf. Thank you so much for joining us, Justin. I know you were supposed to be with us last week, but you had a rough go of it in Dallas, Texas.
Austin, but same thing goes for my friends in Dallas too. They had it rough as well, but here in Austin, unprecedented winter storm. The worst part of it, and we had it better than most folks, but at one point I filled up my bathtub with snow from outside so that I could put it in the back tank of the toilet to use it.
That was
a new low, it was 78 degrees today. So, and the water's back working fine and everything's good. So, but we had it better than most for sure.
Well, good to have you back here on Long Shots. And Justin, before we dive into this week's event, the golf world's been a bit on edge, hoping for the best for Tiger Woods, who was, of course, injured in a single car crash early Tuesday morning in Southern California. Tell us about what you were able to find out and some of your thoughts on this very unfortunate situation.
Yeah, well, based on the initial response everyone had to seeing those pictures, the first thing you're thinking of is just, man, I just hope he's alive, just because it was so terrifying to see that clearly his car rolled over several times, and it just looked like a horrific accident. And so, you know, immediately you're worried about, you know, his family, his kids, you know, his well-being just as a person living going forward. And now to hear that, you know, the injuries weren't life-threatening, some of the initial reporting may have been a little more drastic than what ended up being the case, that I think that's probably the best possible outcome, right, based on what we initially had thought, you know, what was going around early on, hearing that he may have been in critical condition and that they need the jaws of life to get him out of the car and, you know, all kinds of horrific details. So, honestly, I just feel gratitude that the man is, you know, all things considered, is going to be okay. And right now golf is just so secondary to, you know, his overall health.
And Justin, obviously, even before, now that we know what has happened today, I mean, we all saw the interview with Jim Nance on Sunday at the Genesis Invitational, where Tiger, of course, is the host. And look, he just seemed, to me, he seemed like kind of worn down, like this injury obviously was getting to him anyway, and it didn't sound positive for Augusta going forward. Obviously, the quality of life is now the most important thing, but where do you see this going? I mean, in terms of a recovery process, I guess, and his stature in the game, assuming that he's maybe not going to be playing obviously anytime soon.
I think first we need to just get some more details about the severity of the injury, how the surgery goes. I mean, that'll probably be in the coming days when we get a more clear picture of what it could look like going forward. And I think in the most, the rosiest, most optimistic outlook, you hope that maybe, you've heard multiple fractures, a crushed ankle. You're hoping maybe in a year or so that, he could come back and maybe compete again. But right now, I think without knowing the extent of the injuries and how the surgery goes and those initial first steps, it'd just be speculation. I think his place in the sport is solidified for me after what happened at the Masters in 2019. I think everything after that is just gravy. It's just extra on top of it. And this is a guy who's given so much to the golf world, the sports world for 25 years that, honestly, I think we've taken all we possibly can, from the guy and anything else we get in terms of playing on the golf course is just a bonus at this point.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. That Masters win capped it off. Brady, golf historians will remember that Ben Hogan suffered severe injuries, life-threatening injuries in a car wreck in Texas in 1949. He was, at the time, 36 years old. He obviously made a comeback and had a really successful career after that. We can't speculate on what type of injuries Tiger has, but Ben Hogan made a remarkable comeback from a car crash that year to have a phenomenal career. Let's hope we see Tiger Woods back on a golf course in the near future.
Yeah, I think Hogan won a major or two after that car crash. A tweet from our friend Daniel Rappaport felt that all things considered, the news conference was very positive. This is Long Shots, the number one golf-rated betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com. The Sports Betting Network, Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds and Matt Eumanns with you. Our guest is Justin Ray. And now time to jump into a preview of this week's event, Justin. And it is our first World Golf Championship of the season, also our kickoff event for the Florida Swing. Bradenton, Florida, on the West Coast, about 45 minutes south of Tampa, at a new course to the PGA Tour Rota, and that is the Concession. Now, Justin, we have not seen this course before except for the NCAAs in 2015. We don't know a ton about the course. Tell us what you've been able to uncover and what areas of one's game are going to need to be on point to win here this week.
Sure. I mean, I was there in 2015 with Golf Channel for both the men's and women's championships. And my overwhelming impression watching college players play it is this is really long and really tough. Now, it's going to be a different animal for the world's best, obviously. But on the college stage, it seemed a little bit overwhelming for a lot of those players. It's comparable in distance to Bay Hill. There are a lot of traits, I think, that are similar to Bay Hill in terms of the amount of water on the course. Some of the demanding long iron shots that players are going to face. In lieu of not having extensive course data, obviously, and player past performance at Concession, I went through and looked at what performances were most valuable on all Florida events on the PGA Tour over the last 10, 15 years. What I found is that driving distance is just a little bit less significant than normal. Performance off the tee, not quite as important. And iron play is much more important than normal, typically, on events in Florida. So a couple of numbers I look at this week are strokes gained approach and proximity of the hole. Those traits, that are more valuable, they kind of dovetail nicely to who you think of and succeeding a lot in Florida in recent years. We all know, Tiger is arguably the best iron player maybe of all time, easily of his generation, and he had so much success in Florida. But a guy like Sung J.M. last year breaking through the Honda Classic and winning, who I've got some great numbers on here in a bit. Tommy Fleetwood's had a lot of success in Florida in his short PGA Tour career. Tyrrell Hatton was outstanding with his irons at Bay Hill last year. So that's kind of what I'm looking at is trying to glean some similarities from what we've seen at places like PGA National, at Bay Hill, at Copperhead over the last 10, 15 years, and seeing if maybe it'll translate to Concession this week.
And speaking of a player that has some pretty good, at least historical, Florida form, that would be Rory McIlroy, who gets away from Southern California, missed the cut last week at Riviera, has never really been much of a SoCal player, but obviously very good in Florida. And your tweet that you put out, Justin, in terms of how he does after missing a cut, I believe it's two wins in four missed cuts over the last three seasons. Where do you see Rory's game right now? I know he's been trying to make some adjustments in his swing, but now he's drifted up a little bit on the odds board, 18-1-ish, higher teens. He was kind of in the 10 or 12-1 range for a while. Do you think he's drifted up enough where it's worth a play on Rory this week?
That's really interesting. I hadn't seen that he'd moved that far on the board. I mean, the missed cut last week at Riviera doesn't bother me a whole lot. The stat you referenced, the previous five times he's missed the cut worldwide, four top five finishes, two wins in that stretch. So he's a guy who doesn't let it bother him. And obviously that elite ball striking game carries everywhere. He's a guy over the years has made it known that he's not really crazy about putting on Poa grass, which is what we find on the West Coast a lot. So he's had a couple of, you know, through gritted teeth comments over the last few weeks about, yeah, can't wait to get on some more consistent putting surfaces. And, you know, that you're going to find that in Florida. And you've seen how much success he's had over the last few years there. In his career, he averages nearly a stroke and a half tee to green per round on Florida courses. That's exceptional. It's among the best in the game over the last decade or so. One thing I'm worried about with him, and I think par five scoring is going to be important here. You got to take advantage of the ones that are available to you at concession. His par five scoring rank has dropped every year the last five seasons. And I don't know if that's a product of him being a little bit more aggressive and making some more high numbers there, but that's something that I think with some better iron play will get cleaned up. But, you know, if you see Rory McIlroy at 18-1, I don't know how you can at least, like, consider taking a jump at that.
Follow him on Twitter at Justin Ray Golf. By the way, on your Twitter page, that photo at the top, is that Kapalua in Maui?
It is. Yes, sir.
That's what I thought. That's one of my favorite courses in the world. And I can't get enough of that course. That's that tournament teed off the season for us in Maui, and that was Harris English beating
yes.
Joaquin Niemann, who is one of my favorite young players, and I had Joaquin Niemann at 40-1, and he missed a 5-foot putt that would have won that tournament. Justin, when you look at guys like Niemann, I know Tony Finau's not a young player anymore, but some of these guys, even Xander Schauffele, who have blown leads and come up short here early in the season. Do you expect these guys to be resilient? Could you still bet them in tournaments this spring and this summer when you're talking about Niemann, Schauffele, Finau, guys like that who have blown chances to win tournaments here early in the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a strong proponent of the theory that if you keep putting yourself in a positive position over and over again, eventually you're going to break through and find success on the Sunday. What Tony Finau has done over the last five seasons just defies logic. To have 37 top 10 finishes since your last win is mind-blowing. And to me, I don't think it's necessary. I don't take it as a negative to him. I mean, I know that there's some singular moments, like, yes, last week in the playoff, he has that opportunity to win on the first playoff hole to beat Homa, and he misses the putt. But the truth of the matter is he had to shoot 64 just to get into that playoff. Mm-hmm. He had to make a ton of birdies. He putted great on Sunday. You know, Finau, his last four starts, fourth, second, second, second. If he I was talking with my colleague that I do some work with at Action Network, Jason Sobel. I was talking to him, and I kind of agree with his point that if he's going to break through and win a tournament by five or six eventually. He's just so talented and so skilled that maybe that's the way he breaks out of that streak. But in terms of sticking with guys like Xander, who leads the PGA Tour in strokes gained total this season, I mean, I think he's also beaten a lot of really strong fields in his short career, winning like the Tour Championship, Tournament of Champions in his career. I wouldn't deviate away from him. Joaquin Niemann, I mean, I was kind of surprised that his start last week at Riviera was his first since the Hawaii swing,
right,
where he was so good. You mentioned him almost winning. He played great at the Sony Open as well, nearly won there. I'm really high on him too, and he's going to learn how to perform better in big moments coming down the stretch. Sam Burns, who we saw last week, is kind of in that vein too. He's not playing this week at the WGC, but these are guys who are really talented. And like I said, if you're putting yourself in positive positions, you're eventually going to break through and find the winner's circle.
Justin, what about Bryson DeChambeau? He missed the cut at Riviera last week, too, much to a lot of people's surprise who had picked him to really do well there at the Riv. But he and Thomas Detry, I believe, are the only two players in this field that were a part of that NCAA competition in 2015. Obviously, Bryson was your individual champion. Does that mean anything to you when you're measuring how he might do this week?
He's going to have some good memories there, obviously, you know, having won. He won, obviously. Now, his golf swing was very different when he won, and it was about 55 pounds ago when he won. You know, he's put his body and his swing have completely changed since then. But he'll definitely have some positive memories, obviously, to go by. You know, I tend to more stick to kind of the numbers that tell you that, you know, Bryson maybe since the Masters, he hasn't really, actually going all the way back to the U.S. Open, he didn't perform well at the Masters either. But I think since his win at the U.S. Open, you know, a few things have maybe been off. I don't know if he's tinkering with his swing a little bit more. And, you know, the performances just haven't been as consistent as he was, you know, about a year ago. And then, you know, once the pandemic ended, the pandemic hiatus ended and the run up to the U.S. Open where he played so well. But he's a guy who's driven it magnificently when he's played in Florida. He gains nearly a stroke per round in his career in PGA Tour events in Florida, just strokes gained off the tee. So, you know, I don't necessarily put a ton of stock in the past experience on this course just because so few players have even seen it before this week. But, you know, obviously Bryson left some positive memories to draw from.
Justin, 14 of the last 18 WGC events have been won by a player at 25-1 odds or less. So certainly a lot to choose from this week with number one and two at the top, DJ and Rahm. We mentioned Rory McIlroy. But let me ask you about Justin Thomas, who has had some adversity here early in the season. Obviously, the comment that got caught on the live mic cost him his Ralph Lauren endorsement, the passing of his grandfather. He was not very good at Riviera last week, an event where he did finish runner-up a couple years ago. Do you think that this is just one of those things where it's a couple down weeks and he's going to rebound quickly, or is there something more there with JT at this point?
I think he will. I think he'll rebound. You know, his strokes gained approach numbers are a little bit down this season. Last year he led the tour in that statistic. It's been his calling card the last 18 to 24 months. Before this last month or so, I would say he's the best iron player in the world over that time span. He's down to 16th in that statistic, which is a little bit worrisome. But the thing is, if 16th is worrisome for you, you're really good. I mean, because that's still among the elite players on tour in that discipline. So, yeah, it's been a difficult couple of months. And, you know, I put a little bit more stock into his grandfather passing away and, you know, that being pretty stressful. He doesn't normally play a ton in the Middle East, and he went over there, missed a cut there. And I think that it's all just been kind of a jilted schedule, starting with that, the unfortunate moment in Hawaii that got a lot of publicity. So his strokes and approach numbers worry me just a little bit, but, you know, he's not somebody that I'm too concerned about. His track record is immense. And, you know, he's got a number of big things on his resume that lead me to believe he's going to break out of this.
Yeah. JT's going to get it back together. It's I think for him, it's probably important to peak around late March, early April for the Masters, and not worry so much about tournaments like the one or like the ones this week or next week. It's about the first major of the season. I think JT will, by the way, he played really well there last year, fourth place finish in November at Augusta, so hopefully he can peak in April. Justin, I was looking for long shots this week. I think this is a tricky tournament to handicap. We don't have any course history to go by here in Bradenton, so kind of guessing at some players. I took Kevin Kisner at 125-1. Who do you see way down the board that you think might have a shot? This is a long shot show, by the way. Give us a couple of long shots.
I've got a guy who I really like his game. If you are a total golf dork like me and you find yourself early on Saturday and Sunday mornings watching the European Tour, you'll have seen Victor Perez play a lot. He's a big guy, 6'6". He was third on the European Tour in strokes gained off the tee on the on that tour last season. Tied for fourth in Saudi Arabia in his last start. The only guys who beat him were DJ, Tony Finau, and Justin Rose. Sixth on the European Tour last season, strokes gained tee to green. Really good through the bag. It seems like every year at these WGC events, you kind of get introduced to a guy who you may not have seen before, who's been playing well on the European Tour or on the global stage. It was Eric Van Rooyen at Mexico last year. I think it was his first real, you know, welcome to the party in a big event. We've had Thomas Peters years ago in the same kind of vein. Victor Perez has a lot of game, and I'm going to throw a little coin on him to outright and maybe the top five as well. He's plus 15,000 the last time I saw him. So I think that's some good value there. Another guy who I think is really interesting to maybe top 10, finished fifth at the DP World last fall, fourth in Dubai early this year on the European Tour's Desert Swing, 21st, respectable against a strong field in Saudi Arabia. Laurie Canter to top 10, I think, is an interesting name to watch. 12th on the European Tour in strokes gained tee to green this season. You know, I think he's worth a flyer to maybe finish in the top 10 based on his play. And he's way down the board. So those are a couple of long shots.
Nice.
Fitting the show name. You know, I'm going to give you one or two that are a little bit off the board. But Victor Perez, Laurie Canter, two European Tour guys I kind of like this week.
Okay.
Now, how about more towards the top of the board, Justin? You had mentioned Sungjae Im. Anybody else that you're backing as far as the favorites this week in Bradenton?
A little bit kind of in between there. A guy who seems really low on the board this week for me. This is his first start in the United States since last November, so maybe it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind. Tommy Fleetwood, plus 5,500. He's a guy who's played great in Florida, ranked third on the PGA Tour in strokes gained total in Florida events the last 5 years, second in tee to green when they go to Florida. Nothing really flashy earlier in the year on the European Tour, but 7th, 17th, 26th. These are solid finishes against good fields in those events early in the season on the European Tour. Tommy's interesting, and I got to give you some numbers on Sungjae because he's been awesome when he's gone to Florida. It's not just his win last year. He's played 6 tournaments in Florida in his career. He has 4 top 5 finishes. I mean, he's a guy who really excels on these kind of layouts. I know I'm really riding that Florida course theory pretty hard, but right. I mean, in lieu of not having the course history this week, you know, I think that there's going to be enough traits there to that are similar in Bradenton that are going to give that some value. So Fleetwood way down the board to me. That was kind of surprising to see that number by his name, and I really like Sungjae Im too.
Justin, I'm with you on Mr. Florida Sungjae Im this week, so hopefully we're both right. But speaking of Sungjae Im, who finished tied for second at the Masters last November, 44 days away from the Masters, obviously now back in its traditional April slot. Any early thoughts or anybody kind of standing out to you, other than maybe the obvious guys like the DJs and the Rahms? We're starting to see Spieth play well, starting to see Koepka maybe make a little resurgence. Anybody standing out to you at this standpoint?
A year ago, before COVID hit and the world went crazy, I told you guys that my pick to win the Masters was Justin Thomas, and I'm sticking with it. It almost came through last year. He's improved his finish every single year he's gone to Augusta. And I know we talked about how he struggled a little bit here early in the year, but those strokes gained approach numbers are that's the most important statistic at Augusta National, period. It is an iron striking competition. That's what the numbers have borne out over the last 5-6 years since we've got that data available. And I think he's going to put it back together. Those strokes gained approach numbers get better as the season progresses. And just like you guys were saying, to peak going into those big events, this is a guy who is measured by the major championships at this point in his career. So that's somebody that I'm going to stick to my guns and go with him again. Another guy who's played really good, consistent golf, but hasn't broke through and win is Xander Schauffele. We talked about him earlier, but he's a guy whose game fits Augusta really well. There's an interesting corollary between guys who have success at Kapalua and guys who have success at the Masters. My theory is that a lot of uneven lies and iron shots that are either below or above your feet might happen a lot. So Xander is somebody I'm interested in for the Masters too.
All right, Justin, great stuff as always, my friend. Good to catch up with you. I'm glad you're safe there in Austin, and you enjoy the golf this week, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. Fully defrosted here.
All right. That is Justin Ray. Follow him on Twitter, at Justin Ray Golf. A great follow on Twitter with some outstanding stats that you'll catch up on throughout the golf tournament and throughout the week. We'll be back. Take a look at the Puerto Rico event when we return right here on Long Shots.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotika.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, and Matt Eumanns with you, previewing the WGC at the Concession. Now, there's an alternate field event this week as well, the Puerto Rico Open, the site of Tony Finau's only PGA Tour victory. And Wes, you have a preview and some plays for this event you want to share with all of us.
Yeah, you look at the top of the board, a lot of Europeans that did not make the top 50 OWGR to get into the workday at the Concession are here this week. Matt Wallace, Thomas Peters, Ian Poulter. Wallace and Poulter are already qualified for the Masters in April, but somebody like Thomas Peters, who ranks in like the 70s, obviously want to pick up enough points to put yourself into that major. Less FedEx Cup points, less world ranking points here, but still a two-year PGA Tour exemption on the line for the winner. That's how Victor Hovland got his exemption last year. Won as the favorite here at 12-1. Now he is about double the price at the Concession this week, but went mainly down the board. It's usually a lot of longer odd guys here. Other than Hovland, the nearest guy to win was like 50-1, which was Tony Finau back in 2016, and Scott Brown also did the same. So shortest guy I had actually was Brandon Grace at 20-1. Came back to Pebble Beach 2 weeks ago. His father passed previously to that. Respectable finish, and then he was T20 last week at Riviera. 14th in strokes gained tee to green, 12th in approach. So Grace could go well here, kind of re-jump his career. Will Gordon, 45-1. He's a little bit of a boom or bust. Full PGA Tour status that he got from last year with several strong finishes. Big hitter off the tee, 9th in driving distance, shot 66 on Thursday in Spyglass Hill, which was actually the best in the Pebble Beach field, even better than Daniel Berger, who was on the wrong side of the draw for that event and ended up winning at Pebble Beach a couple weeks ago, tipped by my colleague to my right here. So Will Gordon, 45-1. Davis Riley, if you follow the Korn Ferry Tour, you know who he is. He won two events last year on the Korn Ferry, still trying to get that battlefield promotion, where if you win 3K WFT events, you immediately go to the PGA Tour. Maybe he just goes ahead and does it this week. Can bypass that. Scott Brown is kind of Mr. Puerto Rico. If you really look at the form, these events are such a crapshoot, so you really can't find a lot of course form. But Scott Brown has it. Former winner here 2013. Two top fives and five top tens. Never missed a cut in this event. T30 at Pebble Beach against a stronger field, respectable. So Scott Brown, I thought, was a big number. Anirban Lahiri, 70-1. Really good on these Paspalum surfaces on the coast. Bermuda, Corrales, Punta Cana, also a couple top tens at Mayakoba in Mexico. Remember the old CIMB Classic in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur, same surfaces, back-to-back top tens. And then Rafa Campos, going to go with him, 200-1. He's from Puerto Rico. He's missed four straight cuts to start the year, but T7 in the KFT event last week. Think he can bring some confidence. He's got two top tens in this event.
All right, well, you've inspired me, and I threw a couple of shekels on a few guys. You know my pick for PGA Tour Rookie of the Year was Davis Riley.
Yeah.
So I'm on Riley. I know how strong he's been on the KFT. Kind of comes from the class of Will Zalatoris, and he could be following right in those footsteps. I expect him to fare well here. Cramer Hickok, and you talked about a lot of those coastal courses. Mm-hmm. Cramer Hickok played well in Bermuda. He was very hot at the Sony, has done well at Punta Cana, also played really well at the Amex. I think he finished 19th there. He's kind of been an understudy. Freddie Couples has taken him under his wing and kind of been a mentor to Cramer Hickok. So young kid out of Austin, went to UT. We'll see if he can fare well here. And then I finally went with Peter Uihlein, who played well at the Bermuda, finished 60th recently at Pebble Beach. And you got to figure he's going to be there because I think he's ranked as high as 496th in the world. So I'm like, why wouldn't this guy contend?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, look.
He, of course, is the son of the Acushnet and the Titleist family. So, Peter, and, you know, he really has played pretty well off and on. I'm hoping he's on this week.
Well, look at some of the names that have won here over the last 10 years. Derek Lamley, Michael Bradley, George McNeil, D.A. Points, Alex Chayka. These guys were all triple-digit guys.
Alex Chayka. Golf's in Las Vegas quite a bit. I've seen him at the Las Vegas Country Club. Wes inspired me here. I just fired a bet on Campos at 200-1 because Wes tends to come close or hit these bombs in some of these tournaments. And I went ahead and played it. I'm not going to brag, Brady, but I'm one of the few people in the world, I think, who can say they had a bet on Tony Finau when he won a tournament on the PGA Tour, because I did play Finau at 50-1 in the Puerto Rico Open in 2016. And had to sweat it out because he blew a late lead, believe it or not, and won in a playoff. He
over Steven Marino. Yeah. Yes, I remember
Steven
that.
Steven Marino. Wow, very good. Florida guy. We didn't even get to celebrate your back-to-back wins yet. That's coming in match play when we give out our plays for the WGC at the concession. Next up, it's Major Implications right here on Long Shots. It is our Major Implications segment, and the first major of the new season will take place 44 days from now as they will tee it up at Augusta National on April 8th, 2021. And we have a new game for Season 3 of Long Shots called Would You Rather. Who would you rather have in pocket to win the Masters? And I'll address the first matchup here with the panel. The matchup number one features Tony Finau at 35-1. Do you want that ticket in your pocket, or would you rather have Daniel Berger in pocket at 40-1, Wes?
Well, both guys have made our 3-for-3 in terms of making cuts here. Berger, best finish was T10, I believe, back in 2016. Tony Finau, 10th in 2018, 5th in 2019. This is actually a very close one, but, you know, I keep saying when Tony finally gets this win, it's going to be at a big event, no bigger here than Augusta National. I think he's got the game here. I mean, he was obviously in that mix when before Tiger, obviously, that red shirt on Sunday came across and then kind of blew everybody away late. So Tony Finau for me.
I like this game, would you rather? This interesting concept here. And a very tough question right off the bat, because one with Daniel Berger 2 weeks ago at Pebble Beach. And Wes and I both had Tony Finau, obviously, to Riviera. And I'm rooting for Finau. I'd love to see the guy break through. And, you know, how great would it be if his first win in 5 years was a major at Augusta? He's got the track record here. In 2019, when Tiger Woods won, Finau finished two strokes back and a tie for fifth.
Yeah.
In 2018, he tied for 10th. So, you know, he plays well at tracks like Riviera, Augusta. Brady, you and I discussed the correlation between the two in a column I wrote for Point Spread Weekly this week. Tony Finau, by the way, is out there at 40-1 at Circa, I think, right now, if you want to grab that. So you could say these players have the same odds. Tough call for me. I'll go with top 10, Tony.
I'm into – I call him top five Tony now. He's got, what, 3 seconds and a fourth in his last four starts? Absolutely unbelievable. But I side with Finau there. You know, I always say this about Berger. He's more of a Bermuda grass surface putter, and then he goes and wins on Poana and Pebble Beach. So, anyway, I do think Finau may be able to putt these greens or is a little bit more suited for the bent grass than Berger. Louis Oosthuizen, matchup number two. Louis Oosthuizen, who lost in a playoff here to Bubba Watson years ago. He is at 60-1, or Jason Day, also at 60-1, who had never missed a cut at the Masters until November. Wes?
Yeah, both bridesmaids here. Jason Day was tied for second in 2011, also has a third and a fifth here. This is actually a really tough one, because I think Jason Day has shown maybe some more consistent form, a lot more high finishes. But Louis Oosthuizen is a big game hunter.
He is.
And he is a guy that comes out of nowhere. He's always at that between 60-80-1 range, and everybody loves to take him in majors. And why not? He's got the Grand Slam of runner-up finishes. Yeah, I mean, he was nowhere last year and was third at Wingfoot. So this is a tough one. Jason Day, obviously, more frequently injured, but I'd have to go with Day.
I never bet Louis Oosthuizen. Obviously, he's a competitive player, and you know, occasionally he will rise up and contend in these majors. I'm not crazy about either one of these guys, but at 60-1 odds, I think I would take a small shot on Jason Day. He tied for fifth 2 years ago at Augusta. He's another guy with a really strong track record here. I think he's shown some positive signs a little bit in the past year, too. Obviously, he's had a lot of health issues, back problems, whatever. If he can get past that, who knows? Day might win another major. And it wouldn't be stunning if it were at Augusta, Brady.
We'll see if Chris Como can fix his swing. Yeah. That's who he's been working with, who, of course, works with Bryson DeChambeau.
Yep, absolutely. I would actually probably go Louis. I think there's more of a chance that Day can win this thing, but I also think there's more of a chance that Day can go south.
Sure.
I think Louis is a guy that you figure has a real good shot to finish in the top 10, top 15 almost every year. So I'd probably go that direction. Third matchup here, Xander Schauffele at 20-1 or Jordan Spieth at 20-1. Wow. I'll start with you, Matt.
I'm going Xander. You know that. X marks the spot for me. I just bet him at 22-1 to win the Masters last night. That price is up there at Circa. That was the best I could find in the market. Westgate and Circa got very similar prices on these guys. And Schauffele has played well at Augusta, too. He's got a bridesmaid finish at Augusta. Here's the deal with these two guys, though. If you were going to bet Jordan Spieth, you should have done it 2 weeks ago when he shot the 61 on Saturday at Phoenix. You could have grabbed him around 50-1. The price is not right now on Spieth.
Right.
X going to give it to you, I say. T2 in 2019, obviously, you know, once he gets in that 20-25 range, that's where I think his price is appropriate. Matt and I obviously bet this guy a lot. And, you know, when he's in the teens, probably it's too low. But, look, the ball striking is really good. He's usually actually better off the tee than he is on approach. But if he can get that approach game straightened out, I think he's about ready to hit one big here. And as Matt said with Spieth, the price is just gone. You can't bet him at 20-1. I'm believing a little bit more in him, but not believing in him enough to take him half the price that he was.
Yeah, no, the price is totally out of whack, and I would not want a ticket on Jordan Spieth at 20-1. However, I do kind of prefer Jordan Spieth over Xander Schauffele, obviously, especially if I had him at 40 or 50 to 1. But just everything being equal, I kind of side with Spieth a little bit there. Let's go over some of the plays we have in pocket for the Masters. I have one change from last week. I have Justin Thomas in pocket at a little better than 15 to 1. I have Patrick Cantlay at 30 to 1. I have Matthew Fitzpatrick at 100 to 1. And I have Jason Kokrak at 170 to 1. I added Francesco Molinari at 125 to 1. And the guy's coming around. He finished, I believe, eighth at Riviera, had a top 20 finish, I believe, at Torrey Pines. This is a guy that was in the lead going into the 15th hole there when Tiger ended up winning in 2019 at Augusta. Of course, he has a major championship to his credit, a British Open. And the form looks like it's starting to come back around. I saw this guy priced in the market anywhere from 60 to 70 to 1, and I was able to find a 125, and so I jumped on it. And Matt, I know you jumped on a few plays this week as well.
Yeah, I finally made some Masters futures bets after after the Riviera tournament Sunday night. And Monday, I scanned all the odds boards in town, tried to find the best prices. I went ahead and played Xander Schauffele at 22 to 1, Patrick Cantlay, your guy, at 30 to 1, and Cameron Smith, who I know Wes has been talking up quite a bit. This is another Australian long shot I think you have to watch, off a fourth place finish at Riviera. He chased DJ to the wire in November at Augusta, tied for second. He also tied for fifth at the Masters in 2018. I think 70 to 1 is a nice price, and this is long shot, so let's roll with it.
You got anything yet, Wes?
Nothing yet for me, but I do kind of like a couple of those plays that Matt put up.
All right, we'll come back and give out all of our plays in the match play segment for the WGC at the Concession. Coming up next, keep it here on Long Shots.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
Hello?
Welcome back to Long Shots here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the Sports Betting Network. Brady Cannon, Matt Eumanns, and Wes Reynolds with you. The final segment, our match play segment, where we list all of our plays that we have for the upcoming tournament. And, of course, that is the WGC at the Concession. And we always start with Matt Eumanns. He sends in his plays. But tonight, we ordered him to come in studio. He has two winners in a row.
People demanded it, Brady.
Exactly. The people get what the people want. Matt Eumanns in studio off of two straight winners, Daniel Berger at Pebble Beach and Max Homa at Riviera. The pressure's on, Mr. Eumanns. Who you got this week?
Yeah, the three-peat's going to be highly unlikely, you would say, right? But I'm going to go back to my money player here, Xander Schauffele. And I've cashed with him a few times in the past. Now, it's been a long time since he's won. Wes, can you remember the last time Schauffele won?
Oh, gosh. I think it was at least 2 years ago.
Kapalua?
It was Kapalua, yes. I think, to kick off 2019.
It was him and Gary Woodland, because I remember I had Gary Woodland, of course. I always have the second place guy.
Last night events for Schauffele, four runner-ups, two other top fives. He ranks high in all the statistical categories. He choked in Phoenix on Sunday. That was a choke job, plain and simple. I think this guy is going to bounce back, though. He's a tough kid. And he was solid last week at Riviera, 71-69. He was not in the hunt to win, but I think his game's in good enough shape to play him this week at 16-1. And I will say this, I kind of feel like we're guessing a little bit at this tournament because we don't have course history to go by. I don't think the current form means as much. When you go from California to Florida, when you're playing all the Aloha Swing and the West Coast Swing, all those similar courses, I feel like current form means a little bit more. I think their routines get disrupted a little bit when you're flying across the country, and it's almost like this is the second golf season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the first part in Hawaii, California, and Phoenix. Patrick Cantlay, though, he's rock solid. Let's play him at 20-1. Joaquin Niemann, guy played twice in Hawaii, 22-year-old, got a ton of talent. He's grinding to win because he was a bridesmaid twice on the islands. And at 40-1, I thought the price was fair. I'll play him here. Kevin Kisner in WGC events. He's got a win and two runner-ups. Not that that means a ton at this course in Bradenton. I'm searching for indicators, looking for reasons to play a guy. I wanted to look for a long shot. Kevin Kisner's game, I think, might fit this course. I really don't believe that length off the tee means a whole lot here. The more I read about it, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's a second-shot golf course in Nicholas Design where I think Kisner should play well. So I'm just going with four quality players here at odds I think are pretty good. Schauffele, Cantlay, Niemann, Kisner.
I took a look at Kisner, too. I eventually backed off, but I don't disagree with that play, and I'm on a couple of those guys myself. Wes, we'll move over to you and see who you've got this week.
Yeah, I'm the chalk eater this week. Obviously, this is a tournament, these WGCs, where a lot of shorter-priced guys win, so went with the second shortest one on the board, and that was Jon Rahm, 9-1. This kind of reminds me a little bit of last year at the Workday, where Rahm was out of contention. He shoots a 64 on Sunday, and then he carries it over to the following week. Now, it was the same course, mind you, at Muirfield for Memorial, and then he just rolled up on him. He actually should have won by more if he didn't take a late penalty there on Sunday. So this could be one where Rahm goes off. Played well last week, even though he backdoored that top five, fourth in tee to green, seventh OTT, eighth in approach. Rory McIlroy, 17-1. He's kind of drifted a little bit in that territory. Going back to Florida, I think, like Justin Ray mentioned, he's going to like these greens better. He has wins at the Players at Bay Hill and at PGA National for the Honda Classic, a Nicholas Design. So Rory at 17, Matt and I match up on Patrick Cantlay. If there's a Nicholas Design man, it's Patrick Cantlay, really, if you look over the last 2 years. Won the Zozo at Sherwood last fall. Former champ at the Memorial Tournament, both Nicholas Designs. Actually, only Adam Scott and Matt Kuchar over the last 50 rounds rank ahead of Cantlay strokes gained total on Nicholas courses. Mm. So Cantlay, I like, and I like his form as well. Victor Hovland, maybe going down Narrative Street. He would be defending his title in the Puerto Rico Open if he wasn't so darn good right away and placing so well. Last three starts, second in San Diego, sixth in Saudi, fifth at L.A. and Riviera, was first in strokes gained off the tee last week. he's proven he can compete with the world's elite now. He's 14 in the world. He's going to win a big one very soon. Sungjae Im at 40-1. As Justin Ray mentioned, he's Mr. Florida. He's off 2 weeks. 2 weeks off for Sungjae Im is like 3 months.
Yeah.
He never takes it. He's like the modern day Vijay Singh. He plays like every single week. So I think he's going to be refreshed. Third at the API in 2019, fourth at the Valspar. Won last year at the Honda, was third at the Arnold Palmer and made us sweat, Brady, when we had Tyrrell Hatton, that he was going to chase Tyrrell down and maybe he was going to lose it in that win, but fortunately he held on. Cam Smith, 60-1, doesn't have a lot of Florida history, but fourth last week, second tee to green, 10th in approach, 13th off the tee, tends to follow good finishes up with more good finishes. He was fourth at the Zozo in Sherwood, as I mentioned, that is a Nicklaus design, and then was T2 at the Masters. So this is a guy that usually can put good back-to-back finishes together. So Mullet Man at 60-1.
I took a look at being a Nicklaus course, and we've talked about this before, Wes. Nicklaus, Jack Nicklaus golf courses are what they call second shot golf courses.
Yes.
A lot about strokes gained approach and iron play and greens and regulation. So I looked at all of that. Also, if you read a little bit about this course, Jack will say that they're very small greens with a lot of undulation. So I looked at strokes gained approach and greens and regulation. And then because they are smaller greens and you're going to have some runoff areas and whatnot, you're going to have to scramble very well because you're going to miss some of these greens in regulation. I also looked at par four scoring. Justin Ray talked about par five scoring. I looked at par four scoring because I think Nicklaus courses tend to make you really work on the par fours. That's true at the Memorial, Muirfield Village, his course there. And then I also looked at total driving and current form because, again, like you talked about, Matt, a lot of it is a little bit of a guess this week. So I kind of went with the Nicklaus theme, what I figured was going to work at this golf course, and then some current form, and I went with John Rahm like you did, Wes, one of the best drivers of the golf ball in the world. I like the way he finished at Riviera, and I like the way he's played Nicklaus tracks. He finished second at the Zozo, and he won the Memorial, so that was good enough for me. Patrick Cantlay, again, Mr. Nicklaus course himself, arguably the hottest player in the world coming into Riviera. He finishes 15th there. We'll see if he can get back on track this week. And I went with Tony Finau. Matt, you and I were talking about it in his press conference after the game that he lost so miserably in that playoff. I mean, can you come any closer and not win a golf tournament? And he was so positive, and he's always that way. And I mean, the last four trips, he's been second, 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 and fourth. Jeez. Last four trips out on the golf course, this guy has got to kick the door in here pretty soon. I think he's going to bounce back, and I think he's got a great shot this week. I went with Joaquin Niemann. I was able to find him at 55-1, which I thought was a ridiculous price. Wow. For a kid that is playing so well, strikes his irons unbelievably, has a sixth at the Memorial in the past, also finished 17th, I believe, at the Zozo back in October. By the way, Tony Finau, fourth at the Zozo back in October, and finished eighth when Rahm won at the Memorial. You remember Tony kind of blew that one on Saturday, too. So all these guys on my card have history at Nicklaus courses, including Harris English at 60-1 and Ryan Palmer at 100-1, who was in the final pairing with Rahm.
Yeah, with John Rahm. They, of course, won together in New Orleans at the Zurich a couple years ago. So comfortable pairing. Palmer hung with him, ended up losing by three. But a very good ball striker in his own right is Ryan Palmer. If he can just get that putter working, he can be in the mix.
Real good total driving as well. I believe 40th on tour in total driving is Ryan Palmer, and excellent in par four scoring. I think 16th this year, if I'm not mistaken. And Joaquin Niemann, you know, Matt, I like the fact that you're paying attention to this kid. When he came onto the scene, he was basically just a ball striker and not a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. Now the short game's really starting to come around. This guy's like second in scrambling or something like that on tour. And so he is really working that short game and becoming a complete player. Joaquin Niemann, I also played him for a top 20 finish there. Cantlay and Finau for a top 10. The rest of my guys for a top 20. Did you play any matchups, Wes?
I just played one. I played Will Zalatoris over Max Homa, like minus 125. That's just kind of a fade the guy that won the week before a little bit. I didn't really love the matchups, to be honest with you, this week. It was tough to find. What you were mentioning about Niemann is true. I'm just kind of trying to time him right.
Yeah.
When is he going to win? Because I think there's a lot of good courses, even in April for him. A couple of those courses in Texas, RBC Heritage at Harbortown, I think will be good for him. So trying to get the timing right on Niemann going moving forward.
Yeah, I must be crazy. I'm always trying to beat Dustin Johnson. Right? He's the top player out there right now. And I'm you guys both have John Rahm on the futures. I like Rahm a little bit better than DJ this week. And to me, the price is right as well. I found the Westgate Superbook today, plus 115 on Rahm over DJ. And Rahm does have some experience on this course. He played it in college. Correct.
It's it's amazing that DJ doesn't win. I know he won at Doral years ago in this event, but he doesn't win very much in Florida.
Yeah, he just dominates the West Coast. Yeah.
Yes,
and we'll see if he can come up just enough short to John Rahm there on the Florida swing here. And my play in the matchups was Ryan Palmer over who was it again? Mark Leishman, your buddy Mark Leishman, Nick. Ryan Palmer, I've got him at minus 135 over Leishman. Leishman's, of course, his form was so poor in 2020. Started to come around a little bit this year, but I think Palmer should have a better tournament. We're going to have to sweat it for all 4 days, of course, these guys this week, because this is a non-cut event.
72 automatic qualifiers, no cut. So very good field this week in Bradenton, Florida, Wes. The first time the PGA Tour has been at this course.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the one time it was there, we mentioned earlier, 2015 PGA Championship, NCAA Championship, yeah, which was won by Bryson DeChambeau.
Next week, we will go to Bay Hill Country Club and Lodge for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. David Bierman of ESPN will join the program to help us break it down. Thank you to Nick Henyon and Sean McCollum. Thank you to our guest, Justin Ray. Thank you to Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds. I'm Brady Cannon. Cash some tickets. Thank you for tuning in to Long Shots, and enjoy the golf this weekend, everybody.
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.